I'm Tom Hoos from Earlton, New York, and I'm listening to WGXC Acra, New York.
Hi, I'm Flo Hale, and it's good to be back on the air. I've missed all of you. Now, having said all of that, let me get right to my guest, the fabulous, talented, the one and only Lex Gray. How are you, Lex?
So great to be on the air with you once again, Miss Flo Hale, on your amazing second wave of Arts Alive, etc., which was such a beloved show on iHeartRadio, and it's just so wonderful that that your voice is once again on our local airwaves, and
well,
it's a pleasure.
I'm really looking forward to doing it. And having said all of that, you are my guest, my very first guest, and let's get right to it. Lex, we've known each other for a long time, and there is a question that I always forget to ask you. I go to see your shows, and they're so wonderful. And I'm wondering, how did you come up with your persona on stage? Your talented, naughty persona on stage. It's wonderful.
Well, you know, and I know that we talk about this a lot. A lot of my mentors and influences are from the days gone by. One of my favorite entertainers was the late, great Mae West.
Oh, my God, yes.
I love Sophie Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
I love Ava Tengway.
Oh, God, yes.
Who actually was pre-Mae West. So a lot, and I also love a lot of the naughty body women of the blues,
mm-hmm,
you know, that, all of those fiercely independent women who created the whole genre of music. So even as a young person, I identified with the way that they would be able to move and shake and mm-hmm. get attention and defy mores and really make some breakthrough musical artwork and that not only changed the landscape of music and the ears of people, but also opened the minds of people to see their struggles and their true intelligence. A lot of times they would see these women and just say, oh, well, they're floozies, or they're just loud and they're looking for attention. But you know, this was in a time where women and their thoughts and their influence didn't really get a lot of attention. So
well,
it was really wonderful.
One of the shows that you did that I had the privilege of seeing, that was at the Bronx Museum, Women of the Blues. Did I get the title right?
Yes, Women of the
Blues.
Well,
let me tell you what a fantastic show that was.
Well, thank you so much.
It really grabbed everybody. And the stories that you told about these wonderful singers and the things that they went through.
Well, though a lot of these, I mean, of course, a lot of us know Billie Holiday and Bessie Smith,
mm-hmm.
and you know, a lot of these women are in the forefront still,
mm-hmm.
with their music. But
sure.
there were so many scores of women who wrote music that was so seminal, not only to its time, but that is still happening, that bands are still covering their music, and they never really got the credit that they deserved. And because of the climate of the time, both, you know, sexually, racially, they did not get the attention they deserved, nor the credit they deserved for the amazing contributions they made to music. And that's what inspired me to put that show together.
Right. Now, Josephine Baker. Now, I believe it was Josephine Baker who came upon some hard times here in the United States, and she moved to Paris, and she was having a terrible time in Paris, living in squalor, and Grace Kelly, who was then Princess Grace, found out about it and went to Paris and took care of her and made sure that she had, you know, food, made sure she was living in a decent place. And so many times you talk about singers and people in this business, and you don't realize that sometimes things fall apart for them.
Well, as an historian and a history enthusiast, a great part of Catskill's history is that there's a house here where people of color would stay when they were on the traveling circuit, the Chitlin circuit, if you will.
Yeah.
The Rabbit's Foot troupe used to stay at this house, and it was right off the railroad, because unfortunately people of color could not even get off at the Catskill train station,
let alone
stay in a reputable hotel. So there was a hotel specifically for people on that circuit, and the great stories are that there was music all night long, the doors would swing open, the piano, you know, the beautiful outfits, and a lot of these people who pioneered music as we know it and rock and blues as we know it, not only lived in under terrible, you know, racism and prejudice, as much as that they were famous and revered, they were really basically treated like crap.
Well, Lex, I have an interesting story. I was fortunate enough to meet Sophie Tucker because I was in the Broadway show about her life. And in the show was this marvelous woman of color, Rosetta Lenoir. And we were in Philadelphia and we were having lunch in a restaurant. And she said to me, "You know, Flo, 3 years ago they wouldn't serve me in this restaurant."
Wow.
And so she said, "We have come a long way," but that was back in like 1961, and we've come even, you know, better. But here you're actually talking to somebody who she lived it.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "I know what it's like to have people turn their back on you. Fine, I'm an actress, I'm a singer, and they'll pay to see me that. But God forbid I should be able to go into a restaurant that they go into."
Absolutely. Like at the height of the Harlem Renaissance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the discrimination was still alive and well. And, you know, we'd like to say we've come a long way. Of course, we've come some way. But we always have farther to go.
Sure.
And to recognize and to revere the contribution that these people made, and to a large degree, their suffering made. You know, you can't make a diamond without pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't be a happy blues woman. I mean, take that from a blues woman. You know, if there isn't something that you have to speak about that causes pain and causes friction, right? If then you don't really have a song. You don't have a show. You don't have anything. If you don't have something to talk about that that will raise eyebrows, open hearts, open minds, and get people thinking and opening a dialogue.
I believe that people in quote show business, I think that we have a responsibility, and our responsibility is to open doors. Open doors to people of all races. Open doors to people with handicaps. And a couple of years ago on the Tony Awards, Oklahoma, the girl who played Addo Annie was in a wheelchair. And she received a Tony, you know, for her performance. It was a revival, you know, of Oklahoma. So there are so many things that people in the business, you do it, I try to do it on some sort of a basis by using the radio to try to get people interested. And it's our responsibility to tell people, leave politics out of everything. The most important thing that we can do is to take care of people.
Well, that's
children, and that's what you do.
That's why we're fortunate enough to live in this amazing community that not only fosters the arts, but I think that we have a very inclusive and tight-knit community here in our village and its environs. And one of the best outreaches to do is to start early in your community, getting the young members of the community to get together and to express themselves creatively and to learn tolerance and diversity as an integral part of their everyday life. And there's always something to learn from somebody that at first you might feel like, "Oh, I don't have anything in common with this person," or "I might even be a little afraid of this person. I've never met a person like this."
That's true.
And then suddenly you'd realize that there's a whole new lens that you can see everything that you already see through, and you can share that experience together. And I am organizing a children's theater arts program this summer, and registration is open now. It is free, and it is completely community sponsored. The Catskill Community Center, the Fortnightly Club of Catskill, Cultivate Catskill, Heart of Catskill, and Catskill Yoga Sanctuary all contributed to make this program possible for kids ages 5 to 10 to have a week-long arts program.
Well, you know, anything I can do to help you, just yell.
Absolutely. Well, I'm yelling.
Okay. I hear you.
If anybody's interested in signing your youngster up, it is free of charge. It is the week of August 18th through the 22nd. It's from 9 a.m. to noon. If you'd like more information, just get on Facebook and check out our page. It's called Farm to Fable. And there will be a farm because there's going to be some wonderful organic food offered to the kids. And they will get a chance to explore musical theater, songwriting, yoga, which is very important for stress release and managing managing the stresses of being a human in our day-to-day life here in this time. And it is once again free for kids ages 5 to 10. So
you know what I also think is very important for children? And I had a kid say this to me. I think improvisation is very important. And this kid says to me, I've never done improvisation. That's hard to do. And I said, no, it isn't. From the time you get up in the morning until you go to bed, your whole day is an improv. You never know what somebody's going to say. You don't know what your answer's going to be. And I think improv is so important, especially for teenagers that are going out for their first interview for a job. It teaches you, improv teaches you to listen. Listen to what the person is asking you so you can come back with an intelligent answer. And I think one of the things perhaps that you can work on with these wonderful kids is improv. They'll probably say, I'd never done it before, but they do it all day long.
Yeah, and actually that's how we start doing theater, usually, especially young people. And some of the kids are so young that they're not very avid readers yet.
Mm-hmm.
So to hand a young child a script and expect them to say a line might be intimidating. But to get them up on a stage and give them a situation to act out as a little community, as a little group, as an ensemble, it's amazing how that's actually playing. Right? Let's play Cowboys and Indians. Let's play this or that. Let's play Bank Robber. Well, we give them a little situation and they begin to interact with each other and assume the role of a character. And then we all switch. So then they get to play, you know, every different character in the scenario, and they get to see things from a different perspective as well as to being able
and
to engage and play without a telephone or
the
device.
The theater can also be used as a great educational tool. I think that they learn to get along with other young people. They learn to get along with the adults that are directing them. And it's very important, I think, for kids, even if they're not interested in theater, is to learn how to stand up and give a little speech, talk about themselves, and to be able to become part of a community. And at a very young age, I think that kids should start to learn to volunteer. When I was a kid, it was during the Second World War, and all of us kids wanted to volunteer. We were selling war stamps and war bonds and helping fill out the things for food stamps, you know, because you couldn't buy anything without a food book. And this is so important. And I think that what you're doing, Lex, is very, you know, is really an excellent step in the right direction.
Well, I love as much as I love to impart things that I've learned onto another generation, I'm always blown away with how much in turn I learn from the younger people as well. The takeaway, you know, you're always like, I'm going to teach them this and I'm going to teach them that. And then you realize like you have been schooled as well.
Mm-hmm.
And something that, you know, we don't think about because we were much older when COVID happened. But, you know, now we're looking at children whose maybe formative playtime might have been severely influenced by the COVID lockdown. And they don't really understand how to interact and play with each other. you know, and there's an increasing amount of devices, and not that there's anything wrong with technology. It's an amazing thing to embrace, but kids need to be kids without the device, and they need to be able to play, and they need to be able to have tools to relieve their stress. Nobody thinks that children have stress, you know,
well,
and they do.
Let me tell you what I think about children. I was brought up living in New York City. We played in the gutter. And I think one of the things that's wrong with kids today, they're not dirty enough. And I think that's what builds up our immunity. That's why some of us that were born of a certain time have lived to a longer life, because our immune system, our parents weren't always running after us with a washcloth. Here, wash your face. Wipe your hands. I've swallowed more dirt. I think that's in somebody's backyard. And I think that's so important. Let a kid get dirty. Don't be rushing after them. And don't force them into sports if they don't want to go into sports. They may want to do something else. And a lot of these things that parents do, it's not for the kids, it's for themselves. So I think it's about time we started to figure out, maybe my kid wants to do something else, and listen to them. Well, and that's so important.
That's why I'm a great advocate of a yoga practice, not only for adults, but for children. When I was a kid, I was the last one chosen for the sports team. and it discourages you to be active. But being active doesn't just mean competitiveness. It means to compete with oneself and to set a bar for oneself and to have tools to release stress and anxiety, which is incredibly important.
Well, when I
important.
Was a kid, I was short and fat.
Me too.
And when I was in gym class, nobody picked me to be on their team. And I was always the last one to be picked, and they had to take me because I was the last one, you know. And I knew why. I was short and fat and clumsy, and I would trip over myself. But that's life, you know. It's crazy.
Then give you a microphone and a pair of dancing shoes, and suddenly the whole thing turns right around.
I know. Things changed when they found out I got accepted into the American Academy of
I Somatica. Saw a photo of you as a singing waitress in Greenwich Village, and boy, oh boy, Betty Grable, forget it. She would be running and hiding when she saw your legs.
Well, the Champagne Gallery was really a hangout for theater people. And funnily enough, I was singing there one night when a waitress came over to me and she said, Flo, that table over there wants to see you. And I thought they were going to ask for a request. I went over to the table and the two gentlemen were there with their wives. And they said to me, did you audition for the Broadway show, Sophie, the life story of Sophie Tucker? And I says, no, I can't get an audition. And they said, well, you just did. And they were the producers. So I wound up being in the show. I was the standby for the star of the show. Now, standby is a fancy name for understudy. And so it was a great experience, and working with Steve Allen and whatnot. But it's just interesting how funny things happen.
You got to put yourself out there, right? Nothing good happens if you're not putting yourself out
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm sure that this happened to you too, Lex. You take any venue that comes along. I started singing in these small little clubs in the city, and I'm sure that you did that too. And the waiters would come in front of you with their trays. You're singing, and the waiters are back and forth and back and forth.
Oh, my goodness.
And you're right next to the ladies' room or something like that, and people are coming in and out, and sometimes you can even hear the bowls flush. So, you know, that's how you learn.
Definitely a long trip up the showbiz mountain, and it's more like a showbiz roller coaster because you never know, you know, when you're coming up and you're right at the peak, and you never know when you're going back down again. But, you know, I've always been in theater productions. I've always been in musical acts and reviews.
Yeah.
And, you know, one day, you know, you pick up the local paper and you're on the front cover. And the next day you're looking for your next job.
Absolutely. And that's all the waitresses at the Champagne Gallery in the Village. We'd do a show and then the guy would take us back again. There were five gals, and we were all working there because we were unemployed in theater. Then we'd get a job and we'd leave, and then he would take us back again. But
yes,
it was
the great revolving door of show business.
If you go into New York City and you go to a restaurant, 9 times out of 10 the wait staff are all unemployed actors.
Absolutely true.
You know,
Absolutely true. But, you know, I've definitely had the privilege of staying active in showbiz, whether it be in my touring band, Lex Gray and the Urban Pioneers, mm-hmm. or in my interest in history has kind of broadened my horizons to the showbiz. And I've invented a couple of different shows. One of them is Women of the Blues, as we discussed before.
Right.
And another one I'm working on is Saloon Songs, about all the wonderful gathering and reverie of old style saloon culture and the music that that made people gather and sing together. So mm-hmm. we'll be exploring some of that this summer and fall with the Urban Pioneers. And my next appearance with the Pioneers will be on Saturday, August 9th at the Chicken Run up in Windham. And that is a free admission. And I'll also be at the Blues Series on Sunday, August 24th in Shedanken. And I'll be at locally Thursday, September 4th at Music in the Park, sponsored by Hoka. Free music every Thursday night right here in Catskill Village.
Well, that's terrific. You know, when I first came up to Catskill some years back from New York City, there was nothing really happening. And it was just dead. Main Street was not the greatest place in the world. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a theater pops up. And it brings brought other businesses in. It has brought people from out of town into Catskill. And it's just been a great addition to the community, and that's the Bridge Street Theater. But we have to remember that all of these places, the restaurants, the businesses, they can only exist if we support them. We can talk all we want about them, but get off your little fanny and get out and support whatever you think is important to you. And that's the thing to do. You can talk about it all you want, but let's get out there. And if you see something like, you go to a business that you like it, tell your friends about it. You go to the theater, you like it, tell your friends about it. Because we definitely need, and I think more and more people are going to creative things around here, in the Catskill area and the Albany area, then they're going into New York. Number one, the prices are right. And theater tickets in New York now are absolutely outrageous. You go to a restaurant, you have to sell your soul to get a ham sandwich. I mean, it was just, when I was going to school in New York, I lived on tuna fish and Coke. And that was like, including the tip, was a dollar. You know, so.
Well, we also have to remember that now New York City, the demographic is changing, and the epicenter of the arts might have drifted farther north than one might imagine. So a lot of the people that I knew in the arts and the music and the theater from downstate, I run into them now in Catskill and in Hudson, and we all say, what are you doing here? Same thing you're doing here, because we are making a new epicenter for the arts up here, and the Bridge Street Theater is an amazing a cornerstone of that movement, mm-hmm, as mm-hmm. well as WGXC having community
right, absolutely.
Radio. How
absolutely.
Many communities have radio like this,
sure.
where we can just really feel free to mm-hmm. to banter and to share opinions and to reach out, and this is completely community powered, and the Farm to Fable Kids program is completely community funded. We are not relying on government funding right now. We're relying on local people to empower and enhance the lives of local people.
Absolutely. It's so important. And I also think, because I'm very interested in kids, and I had started with Kate Farrell, who used to be the superintendent of schools here. We'd started a program called the Jelly Bean Club. And and it was sponsored by the Catskill Rotary. I'd have kids read a little short children's story, and then I'd have them act it out. And the parents loved it. The kids became aware of that, you know, these books are alive. You can take the characters out of the book, and yes, they're real people. And it's a wonderful, wonderful, was a wonderful program. The kids loved it. The parents loved it. And these are the things that are important. Children have to learn to read, get off their phones, and start communicating with each other.
Yeah, and once you empower the youth of your community, you ensure the power of the future of your community as well, and that connection. And that's what we are all trying to foster here. And if you love Flo Hale and you would like to hear her on the air going forward, you can reach out at feedback@WGXC. Or you can give them a call at 518-622-2598, extension 4, and say that you want more Arts Alive, etc. with Flo Hale.
Well, thank you so much, Lex. I really appreciate that because I love radio. I really and truly do. I think it's a fantastic way of communicating with people. It is, you can be doing other things while you're listening to radio. And that's the important thing. You're not stuck in front of a TV set. And radio gives you an opportunity, in a strange way, to meet people that you don't know. You're communicating to people that don't know you. And it's so much fun if I'm at a restaurant and somebody says, "Gee, Flo, we heard you on radio. We recognized your voice." And I say, "That's terrific. What do you like?" You know, let's get going. But it's interesting, and it's, you know, TV is wonderful. I was working in television in 1950. Who the heck had a TV set in 1950? Not too many people. And it was the most amazing thing because nobody knew what they were doing. Cameras, one camera, and it was all over the place. And TV really and truly has changed the way people think and the way people will go to the movies, and people don't go to the movies that much anymore. But we must learn to listen. And radio is the best thing to do because you have to concentrate. You have to listen and learn. And that's what I think that everybody in radio should be doing. And every performer, I think, has a responsibility to their audience. So, you know, it's really, really terrific. Now, I'm getting a hand signal here that I have 4 minutes left. So let me use this 4 minutes just to say a couple of things. Number one, I want to thank Carmen Borgia, who was a fantastic sound person, engineer. And besides that, he is a wonderful writer of music. And I'm hope, and he just did a wonderful musical. And I'm hoping that I can interview Carmen, on the air, on how he came about to write that musical. And I saw that musical 3 times.
No, I saw once and it was awesome.
And every time I saw the musical, I saw something else. It was just, and I loved listening to the feedback of the audience. And it was very, very, interesting to hear that. And Lex Gray, I want to thank you so much. You've been such a wonderfully, good friend and supporter. And, oh, my dear, you're such a wonderfully outrageous entertainer, and I love it.
Well, thank you so much. And befriending you is one of the greatest things I did when I moved here.
Oh, geez.
And I knew we were going to click when I said Sophie Tucker and you said I was in her musical. I nearly fell to the floor.
But you know what's interesting is you're... I still say, and I want to sit down and work on this with you, I still say that you should write your own Mae West show. Then it belongs to you, and you can take it anywhere you want.
Well, a show about the comeuppance of a gal who came of age in the village in the 80s and was in the CBGB house band. And I'm sure there's definitely a lot of tawdry tales that we can tell. In that whole universe of how music evolved and how we all came to Greene County to be right here in the artistic epicenter of the Hudson Valley.
Well, we're going to do that. And I have here a little bit of time to say thank you all very, very much. It's good to be back on the air, and I hope this is the first of many shows. If you have any ideas, Lex gave you the information as to what to do. Lex, would you give them that information once more, please?
Please keep Flo Hale flowing on the airwaves. Feedback at WGXC or give us a call at 518-622-2598, extension 4, and let them know that you want to hear more Arts Alive, etc. with Flo Hale.
And if you have any ideas about topics that you would like to hear when you call in or email, let us know, and we'll certainly try to accommodate you, because you're the people that are important, really, really important to me, and I'm sure that I will try to please as much as I can. So in the meantime, I just want to say so long. Do you know what so long means? It means so long as you're alive, so long as I'm alive, we'll meet again. So, so long, till next time.
This is deprogramming from the Universal Media Network.
My best friend.